Hey, good morning. Great. 1 year ago, we met with College Heights. That's Tallgrass Church met with College Heights. We got to say good morning then as well. So we usually meet 4 p.m. on Sundays, and we lease from you all. So thanks so much for linking up with us today, us linking up with you. Someone can pull the lights up there because we're going to have to look around here in a second. That will be awesome. So my name is Ben Deaver. I'm a lead pastor at Tallgrass Church, lead pastor at College Heights. Lance is on vacation right now, which is great for him. A little bit about myself. Here's the most recent family photo. My daughter, Kate, she's 11 and very tall. My son, Maddox, is 6 and also very tall. And my daughter, Maris, is 38 and she's also tall. Wife. It takes a while to get going with words and things at this hour. This is early. How does Lance do it? And our 13-year-old mutt, Jumbo, is missing. Many of you have met her. She's awesome, still kicking. So I gather that the Chiefs play at noon. So at Tallgrass, we're used to being done by halftime for the 3 o'clock games. So I assure you we'll be out of here by 2:30 so you can catch the second half. Obligatory, pastor preaches long joke, which is true with me. So buckle up. Here we go. Excited to be with you all this morning. I already love the energy in the room, love the mingle time, getting to know new people. It's awesome, so thanks so much for being here. The Christmas story continues. So the 12 days of Christmas go until January 5. So at Tallgrass Church, we're going to celebrate all the way until next Sunday. So we're going to keep talking Christmas. So keep your tree up, keep your lights out. Keep the Christmas music playing. Some of you are ready to be done. Some of you are excited to keep it going all year. So this morning, we're going to continue with our Tallgrass Church Advent series called Good News of Great Joy. Before we get to the passage, though, I wanted to comment on something that we all share in common in this room. We are all part of a generation. Granted, they're different generations, but we're each in a generation. And so this is going to be slightly interactive, and one of my goals always is to push us a little bit out of our comfort zone, so maybe this will push you out of your comfort zone. I'm not sure. So here's a list of the generations that we have represented in the room, and I'm not sure. Maybe we have someone from the greatest generation, which is those born in 1901 to 1927. I'm not sure. Okay. So when I call your generation out based on these numbers, I know there's lots of debate about all the generations, I want you to stand proudly and represent your generation, okay? You got that? So just when I call your generation, and I'll have it very clearly marked up here, if you're in these ages, you can stand up, clap proudly, and represent. So first, Generation X. Based on these numbers, it's people 39 to 54. Who's Generation X in the room? All right. Got a few. Okay, yes, you're 39, Judy. Or 40, sorry. We're getting uncomfortable because I'm calling out people's ages. All right, Generation X. I'm right on the cusp of Generation X. How about those millennials? Give it up for the millennials. Those 23 to 38. I guess I'm a millennial. Right on the cusp there. So great. How about our boomers? Any boomers in the room? Wonderful. All right, thank you very much. All right, kids and young adults, any from Generation Z? Anyone 22 years old and younger in the, okay, yeah. Strong showing for Generation Z. All right, who are we missing? Anyone in here from the silent generation? And you don't have to be silent for the silent generation. Awesome. Thanks so much for being here. We're so excited. And just so I don't miss anyone from the greatest generation. Nope, I didn't think we would have anyone from that age range this morning. So I am so excited to worship with all these different generations together this morning and to embody and embrace the unity in the body of Christ as it pertains to generational worship. So before we do that, though, we got to, I think we're in it together, but just to make sure we're in it together, a few generational jokes for you all. I cut the ones that might really offend, because it's very easy to offend when we start talking generations. This was a pretty good one, though. What generation does Forrest Gump's son belong to? Anyone know? Gen A. Good. So this young generation with their computers and internet, they're so self-absorbed. It's all meme, 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 meme. So if you didn't laugh at that, maybe you're in an older generation. I don't know. Maybe you got it. We made learning so much easier for the young generation. They now have schools with smart devices, digital textbooks, and online courses. We even reduced the planets down to 8. Yeah, that one kind of stings a little bit, because Pluto is a planet, right? So we're talking good news of great joy. And as we learn in Galatians 3:28, this good news of great joy is for men and women alike. And we're going to be in Luke 2. Luke highlights these couplets of male and females throughout his writing, highlighting that good news is for men and women alike. It's for Jew and Gentile alike, which will come out this morning some as well. For slave or free and free alike, rich and poor, all this is good news for everyone. Finally, this is good news of great joy for both young and old alike. So if you're here this morning and you feel like maybe you're too young to really be used by God or to really relate deeply to God, this is good news of great joy for you. Or if you're here this morning and you feel maybe you're feeling the bumps and bruises, you feel like you're too old, maybe washed up to be used in the kingdom of God, that is just not true. This is good news of great joy for young and old alike and everyone who's in between. You are not too young. You are not too old. God has you exactly where he wants you. He wants you to love the season that you're in. So our church perhaps is a young church. Maybe our demographic's slightly younger than College Heights. Maybe College Heights' demographic is slightly older than ours. I'm actually not sure. But this is good news of great joy for all of us, young and old, whether our churches are young or our churches are old. This is good news for everyone. So last week, Dave Geldart at Tallgrass did a great job speaking on polishing the Christmas jewel. So we're going to pick up kind of where he left off. But it's a familiar Christmas story, so if you want to, you can go back and listen to that. But he let us know that Mary and Joseph, they traveled the 70 or 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You remember that part of the story? They traveled, probably stayed with family. If that disrupts your mental cognition about the Christmas story, go and listen to his talk. Jesus is born. Very quickly, the shepherds visit, and then Luke tells us this. As soon as the shepherds leave, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, so 8 days later, he was circumcised, probably at a local synagogue. And then 40 days after his birth, the time of purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons for those who are poor. And so we learn that this is, again, reinforcing, this is a poor family that Jesus is born into. And so they've just traveled about 5.5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And a little bit later, we read, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So somewhere in here, the Magi visit, and then we learn that every year they would go to Jerusalem to do what the good Jews should do at the time. And then the story picks up a little later when he's about 12 in the temple. So Luke, the physician and historian, records in between these two passages this little interaction between two elderly people and 40-day-old Jesus and his parents. His mother was probably somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, very young. Perhaps baby Jesus and Mary were the youngest ones in the temple at that time, and the people that Luke writes about were the oldest, perhaps. So out of all the interactions that must have occurred this first month of Jesus' life, Luke wants us to know about these two old people who are at the tail end of their lives. So we zoom into this scene in first century Jerusalem, and I'm going to have Kate Deaver and Dick Akins, that's right, come on up to read. So we zoom into this scene in first century Jerusalem where likely the oldest and youngest are gathered together to celebrate good news of great joy for young and old alike. Come on up. And so Dick is first. Where's Dave? Is he back there? This is good to go. All right. Yep.
Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Young and old, you can try to figure out which one I represent.
Who said you represented one?
Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, and that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed."
And there was the prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Thank you all. Wonderful. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that you have spoken, that you used Luke to record this story for us, that we could have a model, two models, a man and a woman, Simeon and Anna, who model for us what it looks like to grow old well and to speak of Jesus and to invest in future generations and to love the season of life that they're in that moment. I pray for us that you would meet us exactly where we're at. Each person in the room could take whatever that next scary step of faith is to wrap up 2019 and head into 2020 well, that we would too prepare to grow old well, and that we would learn to speak of Jesus, and that we would invest in generations, and that we would love the season of life that you have us in even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a painting, Simeon's Prophecy to Mary in 1628 by Rembrandt. I love Rembrandt as a painter. So never mind that the characters are seemingly Caucasian. Imagine them as Middle Eastern, because that's what they were. And perhaps imagine Mary as even younger, because she was likely, as I mentioned, 12 to 14 years old. And I would say imagine Anna much thinner, probably, because she fasted day and night, it says. So we have this beautiful story. I love this story. Has anyone ever been to Bethlehem Revisited over the years? Yeah, out in Keats, that retelling of the nativity scene when you walk a half mile, three-quarter mile. My favorite part every time I've gone is when I show up And it's Simeon, and the delight on his eyes, the old man who gets to hold the Christ child. That's the part that gets me every year I've gone to Bethlehem Revisited. And so we have this passage. 40 days after the birth of Christ, we're introduced to these two characters, just a few verses on each. We don't hear anything else about them in the rest of the scriptures, although we'll get to hear a lot about them one day when we're in eternity with them. So a little bit about Simeon, just a recap of what was just read. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is a man who was active in the waiting. He wasn't just waiting around. He was active. He was righteous and devout. He was devoted to the ways of God. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is before Pentecost. This is before the Holy Spirit indwelt all believers. This man was ahead of his times. The Holy Spirit was upon this man. Maybe he was a priest. We're not sure. That title isn't given to him here. The Holy Spirit's upon him, and he had received revelation from the Holy Spirit. So he was close to God that he would receive revelation from God. It said that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here's a man in touch with the Spirit. And Luke reiterates this. He says he came in the Spirit into the temple. Again, he's ahead of his time. So he's already walking in the Spirit as he goes to the place where God dwells. He already had God's Spirit upon him. So Simeon was a man who had prepared to grow old well. You don't just show up in the Spirit as an old man about to die, getting ready to see Jesus, if you've not prepared well for that moment. So he has prepared well to grow old. I think he's a model for us in this way. And then we read that he took Jesus up in his arms. I love this scene. Just imagine Simeon at the temple. He is ready. He's comfortable in his skin. He's comfortable as an old man in the temple, showing up, doing the things that are required to grow old well, to be devout, to be righteous. And he's waiting for one thing, to see baby Jesus. So imagine his delight when he sees Mary and Joseph coming for that purification right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. And he sees them walking forward and his eyes light up. And the way he must have greeted Mary and Joseph, who surely felt perhaps out of their element, their new parents, of course they felt out of their element. They've got to be exhausted. And they show up and Simeon, you know, talks with the parents, Can I pick up your child? And he picks up Jesus. Imagine his eyes lighting up as he beholds baby Jesus and the joy he must have had to hold baby Jesus in his arms. Simeon must have shone like a light in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation, as Paul talks about in Philippians 2:15. And it was a crooked and depraved generation because the ministry of this child, Jesus, was in the midst of a religious leadership at the temple who were opposed to him. Meanwhile, Herod is getting ready to execute all of the baby boys 2 years and younger. This is a hard time to be an old man prepared to live and die well late into life. So he must have shone like a light in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. He was not a typical Middle Eastern Jewish man of his times. He was ahead of his time in anticipation of how the kingdom of God would come and who it would be for. But yet his understanding was rooted in ancient truths that had been forgotten by most in his generation. So as he holds baby Jesus, he blesses him and says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." So Simeon spoke of Jesus. Simeon cast vision over Jesus' life and ministry, salvation for all peoples, including Jews and Gentiles. Again, he was ahead of his times. He understood what was on God's heart from the beginning that had been lost. Jesus didn't come just for the Jews to release them from Roman oppression. He had much bigger aspirations in view, and Simeon got this. The passage that comes to mind, perhaps, that Simeon maybe had been studying or was well acquainted with is Isaiah 49:6. And I just imagine Simeon at some point reading and memorizing Isaiah 49:6, which says this. He says, "Now the Lord says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you, the promised one, as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Simeon got that. Simeon knew that. He understood the scope of what this child came to do. That's amazing. And then it says he blessed them. He said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child that you have is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Foreshadowing the pain that Mary must have felt as she watched her son die on the cross. And as she pondered and stored up all these things to see him accomplish salvation for all peoples. So Simeon, a model old man. He had prepared to grow old well. He spoke of Jesus. And he invested in this younger generation. So one of my favorite old men that I think of when I think of Simeon, who I got to interact with, is a gentleman named Dr. Bob Tosick. Has anyone in here ever met Dr. Bob Tosick? Yeah, so I knew his reach and influence would have reached to College Heights as well. And I love this man. I don't know if he was ever Simeon in Bethlehem Revisited or not, but I always imagined him as Simeon holding the Christ child and tears coming into his eyes, which I've seen tears come to Dr. Bob's eyes many, many times. Just a little bit about this man, Dr. Bob, who I think his life modeled Simeon's. He founded Helping International Students, which many of you all and have been a part of, and he would pull new students in when he gave them. Anyone shake Dr. Bob's hand for the first time and he pulled you into a headlock? Do you ever have that experience? Do you have that experience? Yes, that's what he did to me. Here's this older gentleman who I want to learn from, who I see interacting, and I go to shake his hand and I'm not ready. And he pulls me into a headlock. And I was like, whoa, this guy is on a different level. Because he wrestled, you know, back at Wheaton the year before. Jim Elliott, yeah. I'd see him at the K-State Rec Center working out all the time because he prepared to grow old well. So he worked out physically, cleaned out the leaves of his gutter. He gave his wife an anniversary gift every month later in life because he knew any month could be their last. So let's celebrate. He knew how to celebrate well. He was tech savvy, believe it or not. He was on his email constantly, emailing and checking in with international students all across the globe. He was ahead of his times in a way. I heard stories where Chinese students would show up to K-State campus and show up at his doorstep, knock and say, "Someone told me to come here because you can tell me about the God." This is amazing. He loved Jesus. He loved people. I love the time that I got to spend with Dr. Bob. I love Dr. Bob. I wish I had more time to spend with him. When he eventually passed away, in a way I was kicking myself, why didn't I spend more time with this older man, Dr. Bob, who pointed to people to Jesus, who loved Jesus, who was a delight to all around him. At his funeral, I'll never forget it, his whole biological family was there. It was big, 7 kids, huge layer of grandkids, even larger layer of great grandkids. But his biological family was dwarfed by his spiritual family, the legacy that he left. It was amazing to witness. You know, I want to be like Dr. Bob. I want to be like Simeon, the one who welcomed Jesus at age 40 days at the temple. I want to help others become like Simeon, and I need help getting there, right? So boys, if you're a boy in here, look up at me. Boys, young men, look at me. You guys have eye contact. You need to seek out older men who can help you follow Jesus as you become an old man. Can you imagine that? One day you're going to become an old man, and you need help along the way. Older men, if you consider yourself older, look up here. Seek out younger men and boys who you can help follow Jesus well into old age. Leave a legacy behind. It's just a little bit about Simeon and a modern day example, Dr. Bob. Let's just recap Anna. And of course, I'm saying Anna because of Frozen. When Kate read it, she said Anna, which surprised me. Okay. So we're going to learn a little bit about Anna, which we've already read about. Don't miss this. She's a prophetess. So as a prophetess, presumably she outranks Simeon in her role there in the temple. So Simeon may have been a priest, but Anna was a prophetess. In fact, she's the only New Testament prophetess named. Big deal. Just three verses, but a big deal. We learn about her that she is the daughter of Phanuel, not listed alongside her husband, but as the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. So she is one of the few in the New Testament whose tribe is actually listed. Others include Jesus. We learn his tribe. We learn of Saul, Paul's tribe, and we learn of Barnabas. And we learn of Anna, the tribe that she was from. I'm not for sure why Luke included this detail, but one of my ideas, when we read about the tribe of Asher, we learn this. Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. The tribe that she comes from is Asher, which means happy. So I wonder if Luke is saying, here is this happy old woman who understood life, who could welcome baby Jesus. She is a model. Follow in her footsteps, young women. We also learn of her that she was advanced in years. So she lived with her husband 7 years and then was a virgin until she was 84. Or some translations say she was a widow for 84 years. So she's somewhere between 84 years old and 105 years old. So she was advanced in years. It says she didn't depart from the temple. That's where she spent her time. Wherever God was, that's where she wanted to be. And she worshiped with fasting and prayer night and day. And there were a few prescribed fasts for the Jews at the time, but nothing like this. And I get the sense as you read about Anna that this isn't legalism. She's not trying to earn her favor with God. This is out of the abundance and overflow of her joy in her God. That's pretty easy to see in the way she's depicted. Another little tidbit we learn about Asher, which perhaps Luke had in view, is this. In Genesis 49:20, it says, "Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies." So I think of Anna, who is praying and fasting and feasting on that which is so much richer than earthly food. She really got it. She understood how to have joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord was her strength. So she too had prepared to grow old well. You don't just show up in the text, advanced in years, welcoming baby Jesus, if you've not prepared to grow old well. It says that she was grateful, she was full of gratitude to God, and that she spoke of Jesus to all. And so here's this older woman who's probably got to be rail thin, fasting and praying all the time, and she is speaking about Jesus to all. I have a feeling that people were tuning in. What does Anna have to say? It says she's coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna, a model older woman who had prepared to grow old well, who spoke of Jesus to all who had ears to hear, who invested in this younger generation. What courage Anna must have breathed into Mary as she interacted with her as this young mom. I mean, not to mention the fact that Mary just had the Son of God. I mean, she's a young mom. She needs help. And Anna must have come alongside her. One of my favorite old women who's passed away is someone who I've never met, who I would look forward to meeting one day. It's Sister Harriet, who is one of Maris, my wife's, teachers at St. Teresa's Academy in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm putting Maris on the spot. Do you want to just share briefly, you can just stand where you're at, the impact that Sister Harriet had on you? And Lord willing, one day you can all hear more about my wife's story. But I am eternally thankful for the investment of Sister Harriet had on my wife as a young woman. I put her on the spot totally. I was talking to her about maybe sharing, and she said, oh, maybe.
That's okay. Okay, so Sister Harriet was my chemistry. She was the AP chemistry teacher, organic chemistry, and she was feared and revered in our high school, both. She's a really traditional nun. She was one of the few nuns we had left actually teaching at the high school, and so she kind of knew the tradition of St. Teresa's Academy, as well as kind of how it was changing and kind of modernizing, and so she was really kind of a stalwart on keeping tradition, and so all the students in her class, if you hadn't prepared for your lab work or your chemistry assignments, you knew you were going to get it from her. But as strict as she was so encouraging to her students, and she was just very for your success. And so I loved her organic chemistry class was my favorite class. Not only was she an amazing teacher, but she also was a huge sports fan, and so she would be the scorekeeper I played volleyball, so she was the scorekeeper faithfully at all of our games, and she would lead the prayers for our team before we went out and played. She would also go on the road with us, and so all of our away games, she was there scorekeeping, praying for us, and after I graduated, you know, we live in Manhattan, we would go back to Kansas City, and we would go to Catholic Mass with my parents sometimes, and she was always there, and she'd always come up to me and give me a huge hug and ask me how I was doing, how her family was doing, and so I just kind of felt like she represented somebody who had high standards of us, but also really encouraged us in our faith and kind of modeled what it looked like to be somebody who lived their faith with excellence, so...
Yeah,
that's Sister
sharing.
Harriet for you.
Yeah, and I think I did meet Sister Harriet once or twice and didn't think much of it, but looking back now, I wish I would have gone to her and talked with her and said, thank you for planting seeds and watering seeds in the life of my wife before she had come to faith in Christ, and it had a huge impact in her story as well. And I think, and I didn't know this, how strict she was, but I think... young people are looking for someone to give them some structure, and it's okay to be hard on them if you're present and faithful and loving, and that's a beautiful example. It makes me just wonder, how was Anna? How did she interact with people? Did she elevate their excellence, their striving after God, those around them? So girls and young women, if you consider yourself a young woman or a girl, look up here. You need to seek out older women who can help you follow Jesus well into old age. And older women, if you consider yourself older woman, look up here. You're all looking up here. That's great. Seek out younger women who you can help follow Jesus well into old age. We have a great opportunity. Don't wait until it's too late. Today is the day to seek out those that you can help and those that you can learn from. So as we wrap up looking at Anna and Simeon, application is going to be pretty straightforward. We've been hitting it throughout the message. As we head into 2020, a new decade, we wrap up 2019, we head into 2020. Prepare to grow old well, or grow older well. We have these great models here. Maybe just choose a spiritual discipline or just one discipline that maybe it's new to you or something you need to lean into. Make it a New Year's goal, but be kind to yourself. Be gracious to yourself. I love how College Heights is highlighting a 2020 Bible reading plan together. Jump in. Jump into that if you're part of College Heights. And create a culture of challenging and encouraging in a grace-based environment, you know, where you're not harping on one another if you're behind. It's okay if you get a little behind. Just keep going. If you're part of Tallgrass Church, we pray every Tuesday morning together. Maybe that is something you jump into. Some of us are going to experiment with fasting on the first Tuesdays of the month. Jump in with us. Take some step this next year to help you prepare to grow older well. Envision yourself as an older man or woman like Simeon or Anna. And if you don't know Jesus yet, if you're sitting here or listening online and you don't yet know Jesus yet, the first step to take to growing old well and to flourish as a human is to get to know Jesus. You know, Jesus never saw old age. I mean, he's the Alpha and Omega, but in his time on earth, he went until about age 33, and his life was cut short because he went to the cross to die for our sins, my sins, your sins. So put your faith in him this morning, and then follow Simeon and Anna, and others like him to become more like Christ. So prepare to grow old well. Just like Simeon and Anna, speak of Jesus. I think most of us in this room need to speak of Jesus more often and to more people. Make a practice of speaking to Jesus more often with more people in 2020. Look for opportunities where you can just get in a word about Jesus. Make opportunities to get in a word about Jesus. So you may need to do your homework a little bit so that you can give a reason for your hope, so that you can communicate clearly about the gospel. So again, back to point one, get into the scriptures, get into prayer. You may need to spend some time with Jesus so that when you interact with others, they can tell that you've been with Jesus as the disciples. When they were in the temple, they could tell, man, these guys have been with Jesus. That should be like us. That's how we should be, like Simeon and Anna. And three, invest in generations. Maybe God is already bringing someone to mind, maybe a family member or someone in your church or someone in your neighborhood, maybe someone you've never considered. Maybe I should reach out to that young girl and just give a word of encouragement. Maybe she wants to come over for tea or to help in our house, or maybe it's that little boy in your neighborhood comes to mind that you could give that word of encouragement who's no one's giving to. I think these insecurities go both directions. I think young people have insecurities about approaching those who are older than them. Young people may be often worried that older people won't take them seriously or they don't have time for them. I know that's how I used to think. I think maybe some from older generations also have insecurities. Like, I don't have anything to offer, or what I have to offer, they don't want it. Sometimes Dave and I find ourselves telling people, like, trust me, these younger people want to hear from you. It just takes, like in a relationship, someone with courage to initiate. So whether you're younger, you can initiate, or if you're older, you can initiate. And really what we're talking about is discipleship. So this is what I long for still. I need to seek out older men who can walk alongside me. And I had a whole list of older men who've passed away that I wanted to comment on, and I limited it to Dr. Bob Tosick, but others who come to mind, Charles Bascom, Steve Graber, my grandfather, Herman Regeer, Dr. Jim Wilson, whom most of you wouldn't know that person, who I would long to have had more time with them. I wish I had spent more time. So invest in generations. How cool would it be if you took that step in 2020? You had a new friend and someone who you were investing in. And then finally, love the season of life you're in today. We got young folks wishing they were older. I can see that all the time, whether it's my kids. You know what I'm saying. And you got older folks who were wishing they were younger. You see that in culture. You can see it at the gym at times. You know, just be comfortable in your own skin. God has you exactly where he wants you. And we live on this side of the cross. It's the best time in history to live. We're spirit-filled believers. We have the full revelation of God's word. We're looking ahead to Christ's return when he'll come to make all things right. We are living in an amazing time. So love the season of life you're in today. So the way we're going to wrap up is we're going to have Bill Bickmeyer and Bob Allen. We're going to come on up here. And this was Lentz's idea to have a Tallgrassian pray over College Heights and then have a College Heightsian pray over Tallgrass Church. So you guys, come on up on the stage. Got the mic here. So I know we've already stretched our legs, and hopefully everyone has already stood once. So when Bill prays over College Heights, if you're from College Heights, please stand. And then when Bob prays over Tallgrass Church, then we'll have those involved with Tallgrass stand. And if you're not in either church family, that's okay. I guess you get to stay seated. Times. Yeah, you could be prayed over both times. So yeah, will you please pray with us?
This is from Hebrews 18, 7 and 8. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord God, I pray that as this new year comes, we keep our leadership in mind. I pray that as the young people of their church move on in their careers from college days, that they continue to follow Christ and to follow the model of their leadership that they have seen through this church. And Lord, as this church digs into your word, Lord, let them be inspired, encouraged, and just prayful in their works. In your name I ask.
Okay, if College Heights would sit down and Tallgrass would stand up, we'd appreciate that. I'd just like to say that here at College Heights, we used to have a policy that every Sunday we'd pray for a different church in town. We haven't ever had the opportunity to pray for another church right with us, except for one Korean church that used to meet here. And so this is kind of an exciting time for us because, you know, we share the building, but we intersect during the week with a whole different swath of this area. And so it's exciting that we each are out doing different things for the Lord. And just to show you that, do you know, Ben, we do have somebody from the Greatest Generation who's a member of our church. She's 100 years old, and just on a recent Sunday started having health issues, so she can't be here today. And so I'd like to ask you to pray for Helen this week, would you, in this Christmas season. She sits right over there, usually, and I thought of her when you were talking about Anna. Also like to just say, this man got out of his car out in the parking lot, and I said hi to him. Got to the door, and we introduced each other and found out we were both praying. So it was kind of fun how the Lord works things out. But let's pray. Father, you created this church, Tallgrass Church, and you have a purpose for it. First, to come to know you and to love you. And then secondly, to reach out into the community and share this love with the community. And Father, we know this is a younger church. And so we ask that you would provide everything that this church needs to do and become what you have in mind for it. So in this new year, we pray that they might begin to sense even more your work for them and your provision for them. And rest and rejoice in your care for them. Father, secondly, we pray that you would help them to grow in commitment to each other, that they would come to love each other more, and as they work together, sense the strengths and the things that they appreciate in each other. And finally, Father, we pray that you would reach people in Manhattan
who don't know you. Give them the opportunity, the strength, and the wisdom to, like the pastor said, to speak about Jesus wherever they go. And give them the ability to guide and nudge people toward the Lord. Father, this new year brings a lot of uncertainties, but it also brings opportunities to trust you, to serve you, and to see you do great things. And Father, we look forward, both of us churches, to that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You can all stand up and the band will come up, and I would love to just close this time in prayer as well. It kind of inspired me to pray. Father, thanks so much for our opportunity to be together. We do pray for Helen. Give her strength and reprieve and where she's at right now, and help her to even be able to invest her life well, what remains of it. And we are so thankful for the morning together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.